few more storm clouds show up in the forecast for global economic growth.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. The International Monetary Fund says economic growth is slowing down sharply all over the world and that even the U.S. recovery is at risk. The IMF says the world economy will only expand at a rate of 3.3% this year, which is 0.3% lower than previously thought. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Good morning.
Hello, Jeremy.
So, Stephen, what exactly is the IMF saying in this report?
Well, it is pretty bleak. It's revising down, as you say, the forecast for global growth. It says the global economy is slowing down because of stagnation in the Eurozone and a fragile recovery in the US, which is now coinciding with the emerging economies like China, India and Brazil, which had been strong, slowing down too. And the IMF says this is happening in spite of proactivity, one might even say hyperactivity, by central banks. Here's what Marie Durand told the BBC. She's a chief economist of the accountants Ernst & Young.
Even after very strong action by central banks, by the US Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, the job is not done. There's still, I think, a key word in the IMF report today is uncertainty.
And where are we seeing that uncertainty coming from, according to the IMF, Stephen?
Both from the Eurozone and the US. In the Eurozone, the IMF blames governments for the uncertainty because they failed to resolve the debt problem. Indeed, the IMF says the Eurozone has made matters worse by prescribing too much austerity. As for the US, it says that it's calling on the Congress to take action to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff, automatic rise in tax and cuts in public spending from January the 1st, which the IMF says could stall the US recovery.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, both candidates for president will be in Ohio today, where it is the last day people can register to vote. And there's a good chance both candidates are going to mention the word coal, because the future of the coal industry is a big issue in Ohio, as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
There's a funny thing about all the focus on Ohio coal miners in this year's presidential election. If you listen to the ads, you'd think we were talking about a whole lot of people.
Governor Romney understands that in eastern Ohio and throughout the United States of America, coal equals jobs.
But coal actually adds up to a small number of jobs in Ohio. Phil Smith is with the United Mine Workers.
There's about 2,700 active coal miners as of the latest government data.
The National Mining Association estimates less than 1% of Ohio's GDP comes from coal mining. So why all the attention? Two words.
Swing state.
Swing state.
Swing state. Candidates need every vote they can get, so they make promises about rescuing the slumping coal industry. Romney wants to cut environmental regulations that would put limits on pollution from coal plants. Obama hypes clean coal, but neither one will keep the coal industry out of the trouble it's in today. Michael Levy is a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
People point to regulation for a lot more than regulation can actually explain.
Coal is in bad shape today because of the glut of low-cost natural gas.
Power producers go out there and they say, I can put cheap natural gas into my gas plant, or I can put coal into my coal plant. The better deal for me financially is to use the natural gas. That means that there's lower coal demand.
Which isn't to say environmental regulations don't matter. Rob Barnett is an energy analyst at Bloomberg Government.
In the long term, those regulations will sort of make sure that coal stays out of the mix.
Or at least make it more expensive to keep coal in the mix. And what about the promise of clean coal?
I think it's a long ways off.
The technology needed to trap carbon dioxide underground is still getting figured out. Analysts say the coal industry's best hope may be in exports. But demand from abroad is fickle. And one more thing a president can't control. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. Down 1% in Tokyo, but up 0.25% right now in Paris. Here in this country, today is the start of earnings season in the corporate world. We're going to hear from aluminum maker Alcoa, as we always do on the first day of earnings season. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 26 points to close at 13,583.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
New York City is revamping the way it determines just how gifted and talented preschoolers are. The city is revising its testing program, as Sally Herships reports.
Okay, everyone, books away, phones off, time for a pop quiz. First question, what now makes up two-thirds of a student's score on New York City's gifted and talented test? Oh, sorry, time's up. The NNAT or Naglieri Nonverbal Ability Test. Next, describe a question on that nonverbal test. In the back, Miss Rayalt.
You know, umbrella is to rain as what is to snow.
That's correct. Suzanne Rayalt, CEO of tutoring company Aristotle Circle. She was describing the pictures that will appear on the new test. Next, what does all this mean for test prep companies? In the front, Bigay Daruk, CEO of Bright Kids NYC.
So it's new. Anything that's new, you know, creates more demand for a service.
Correct. Last question. Who does a new test keep up at night? The answer, according to the testing companies, nervous parents. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, one more question. What would you do if you found $221,000 cash in the back of your car? That is exactly what happened to a cab driver in Las Vegas who did the honest thing and reported the find to his cab company. Soon enough, returned the bag to a very happy guy who apparently got very lucky at the casino. According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the cab driver got a $2,000 tip. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.